this is actually part two of part three, because he said there are basically... Well, it's part three. Okay, so we basically said there are a few phases to our discussion. So the first discussion that we had was kind of just about functioning. How does Shamayach Ono function? Does it function that it counts as if you are speaking? And that is what we associated with the translation of Shomea Keone Shmia Keania. We're comparing verbs with the ramification that it's only good for speech and nothing external to speech, and also the ramification that it is actually like speech and therefore constitutes a hefsek. Or do we say, no, HaShemea KeHaOne, we are comparing people, and what it means is that somehow this is an avenue for you to fulfill a mitzvah through someone else, with the ramification that it could, the positive ramifications, that it could include even things that are not actually speech. Presumably a mitzvah has to be primarily about speech for Shemei Ka'ona to be an option. But once it's a Shemei Ka'ona bo mitzvah because it's primarily about speech, then other things can come along with it, other conditions that define the speech. And the other implication that maybe you can be yotze without being considered actually having spoken, and therefore it shouldn't be a hefsek. And we went through some afkaminas about that, and we highlighted three to essentially trace it backwards in time through the Beis Halevi and the Chazon Ish on the one hand, through the Taz and the Rebbe Akiva on the other hand, and Rashi and Tosfos on the last hand. And we also mentioned the Rambam seems to convey two stages, that the basic Shemei Ka'ona is a way to fulfill the mitzvah, and saying Amen, it's as if you actually said it. We could give many, many more nafkaminas. This is, again, a major, major issue, but that will suffice for just displaying how those studies work. So then we started to say, can we go deeper with this? Can we say that this functioning is indicative of something more basic, of how Shemei Ka'ona comes to be true in the first place? Is there a existing halacha that is the operating system for Shemei Ka'ona? So Shemei Ka'ona builds itself on something else. So we mentioned two possibilities, and we explored one of them yesterday. The two possibilities were Hirhur Kedibur and Shlichus. So yesterday we explored Hirhur Kedibur and saw that the weaknesses of using that is A, Hirhur Kedibur is much less endorsed than Shemei Ka'ona is, which as far as we know, Shemei Ka'ona is a unanimous principle. And secondly, that Hirhur Kedibur does not explain the halacha that Shemei Ka'ona requires you to have the speaker be fully obligated, at least as much as the people listening. If the whole point of Shemei Ka'ona is a means to the end of Hirhur Kedibur, so then why can't we just listen to a tape recorder or a teleprompter or just have any other way of bringing the thoughts into our head? It doesn't matter who's actually doing the speaking. There should be no such requirement. And one answer to that question, just to highlight how Hirhur Kedibur then will not be what we're looking for, is that in the Hanami, that if you want to use your Hirhur Kedibur option, which is less agreed upon anyway, then any method of getting the thoughts into your head would be enough. But if you're trying to push the Shemei Ka'ona button, so then that's where you require a Bar Chiyuva. And that highlights the difference, that if you're taking that approach, you're certainly saying that they're not the same thing, that Shemei Ka'ona is a fully different approach. So the other suggestion, now everyone's up to speed, everything makes sense? So the second suggestion was Shlichus. Now this is a complex point, just to be prepared for it. So we'll say this carefully. What would you say are the pluses and minuses of comparing Shemei Ka'ona to Shlichus?
Comparisons
are
different.
Well, either way, the differences would be the minuses. So what are the pluses and minuses of basing Shemei Ka'ona on Shlichus? Daniel?
My weakness.
Okay, good. It's nice of you to confess in public. Yeah?
No.
Uh-huh. Oh, so we could actually address that. So that's not weak enough. Looking for more fundamental weaknesses. Yeah, nice of you to confess, but you're not weak enough. There are problems that are a little more fundamental than that. But we'll actually try to come back and address that point. Who's up first, Jed?
Yeah, I think
you can only appoint a shliach to do something that you yourself are capable of doing.
Okay, it's closer, but how does that make an issue here? Why are you not? So you're going back to the Roi Kibbula, that whole discussion?
Right.
So that itself was disputed, whether it works for a case was in a Roi Kibbula. So...
outside of Roi Kibbula, it could just be that since he's not capable of answering at that moment or speaking at that moment, so it's not that it's no good from the Roi Kibbula part, but it's no good from the Shlichus part.
Interesting. I mean, it's hard to invoke that as an issue because we're not even sure what the universal position is on that. You know, that was just when we mentioned as a matter of machlokas. So it's hard to come at it from that direction. But there are some more basic issues with shlichus. Daniel.
Okay, a couple things. One is that shlichus does it for you, but that doesn't count for him as well. And here we have
is that true? Sure? Well, okay. Okay.
Usually, you know, right. Shlichus can do it for you and him at the same time because he's taking on a role. So here it seems like he's both fulfilling his obligation for himself and for you at the same time.
That's interesting. I wasn't thinking of that, and that's a difference. I'm not sure if it qualifies as a weakness. It's an interesting difference.
Okay,
I'm not sure what to do with it. It's interesting.
That for a if it's shlichus, then who cares if you hear it or not?
Ooh,
it's
okay.
Like if you're bringing him as a messenger, then he could say it happened across the world, and it would count
okay.
As you said it.
So that's good. So that's more one of the things I'm looking for. And now I'm trying to get, I think you had your hand up first. That's what you wanted to say?
Yeah, we got it.
You're the official make owner.
Exactly.
Right, okay, so so you both did that. Beautiful. But according to Daniel's position, he's not Yotze himself, so it's only you who's Yotze. All right, so let's discuss that point. That's one of the issues, right? That if we're really talking about shlichus, so shlichus does not require your presence. You can fulfill a mitzvah through shlichus and be elsewhere. So if these mitzvahs, Kiddush, Megillah, etc., they really work through shlichus, then why don't we just say, okay, it'd be great, right? You could sleep late in the morning and be mamanah somebody to say Kriya Shema for you, according to the Shai Gesai, that you could say Kriya Shema through shlichus, and that's awesome. And so people who can't get to locations on Purim with their Megillah readings, they could try those all the time. So they'll just be mamanah shliach to go hear Megillah on their behalf. So if this was really shlichus, why is that not enough? Why do you have to be there? That's a good question. There's another question which you may not come on to, but is also relevant, that shlichus doesn't work for everything. And especially if you were here for Kedushin last year, you may remember this in a little more detail. Yes, Daniel?
Yeah, so
that's the general principle that emerges from the Rishonim, the Tosfos Rid, and from the Tzos, that we understand that not all mitzvos work through shlichus. And again, you'd have some pretty convenient options if you don't want to eat matzah or murr or anything like that, and just be mana shliach to do those. All right, so why don't you say that you can do that? So the answer is that shlichus is not about a mitzvah shebegufo. It doesn't make sense that if there's a mitzvah you're supposed to do with your body, like eat matzah, that you can say somebody else can do it and it'll be as if you've done it. I used to pose this question in camp when I used to play basketball. So sometimes if somebody was about to get a basket in, I would want to be reminding him my shliach, so it should be like my basket. So does that work? Sorry?
Does he also get a basket?
Oh, so that's goes back to that question. But if I want to chop his basket by being reminding him my shliach, so does that work?
Sure.
Oh, sorry?
If you're likely to make the shot, then maybe the shliach is the same.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. I was thinking there's two problems with it. One problem is totally nechakira. The question is, why do I want to be mani meshliach? So is it because I want my team to have a point? Right? It's a tachlis-oriented idea. Or I want to show off how athletic I am, so I want to chop the credit for his basket. So if I want to get my team to have a point, so then maybe it's a tachlis-oriented thing. Maybe shlichus could work for that. But if I want to show off how athletic I am, it's mitzvah shebegufo by definition, so then it shouldn't work. The other big issue with being a man of shliach is that called Dover Shi Holomatsi Avishaykh Lomatsi Mashiv. I can't do it myself. I can't be, you know, can't be Mashiv Shliach. So that's but the key point is the Mishvash Vigufa, right? So to say that okay, he'll get a basket on my behalf and it'll be Kilo I got the basket and look how athletic I am, that doesn't work. So what is the mitzvah of making Kiddush or reading Megillah? I mean, it sounds like that's the mitzvah Shabagufo, right? It sounds like this is something you're supposed to be saying. So how could you be memana somebody else to say it? So those are problems with the Shlichus theory. Are there any special benefits of the Shlichus theory?
Yeah.
Okay.
You get around the row, Ethan.
Get around the what?
The problem of how to be row.
Problem of you get a, you explain the problem how to be a royal dealer. A royal dealer, or you think?
You don't have to deal with it.
Well, explain. I'm not sure what you mean. Sorry, explain it a little more.
Well, unclear. For students, you need to be able to do it
right
at some point.
Right.
So you get around a little bit of how. Maybe you said that there's a problem for royal dealer.
Maybe, but that was so it's my focus. Yeah.
But you get around.
Maybe.
Get around it.
We're not sure how that's going to play out. But what I thought maybe you were almost going to say is that it answers our other question, right? That if we want to know why does the person speaking have to be a Bar Chayuva, because if it's Hirak or Dibor, so why do we care who's doing the talking? So if it's Shlichus, we get it, right? That essentially you need somebody who's Chayiv in the mitzvah to perform a Shlichus for you. So too, they have to be somebody who is Chayiv in this bracha to be motzi you through something like shlichus. And essentially, just to say it a little bit more.
Sorry.
Yeah?
Sorry. Shlichus doesn't require equal obligation.
It does, though. It requires that the person you're sending as a shliach has to be, we use different language there, we call it b'toris. They have to be in the obligation of this mitzvah.
Which you have the situation with Kohanim, you have the situation.
It's a good question. So that the Dvar Avram has a whole essay.
Also,
don't see
them talk about certain few cases where
it's
not equal.
Yeah.
Like if you
in general, it does have to be at least in the parsha.
Wait, but if you said a Kohen to the Kaddish.
So it's going to get us a little far afield. But the Kohen has a different aspect to it for a couple of reasons. So just to keep it at a minimal level, so you do have to have a Bar Chiyuva is a shliach in general. So, and then just to see how this plays out here, so if we say shlichus, so then that works for the other side of our chakira. That shlichus means you are fulfilling your mitzvah through the agency of someone else. So then Shemeya Ka'ona would mean not that it's like you're talking, but that through someone else's kiyum ha-mitzvah, that's how you're fulfilling the mitzvah. You are somehow linking up with this guy. So that does explain the Bar Chiyuva thing, because essentially, to put it in a mashal, if you want to catch a ride with somebody, he has to be going as far as you're going. Right? If he's stopping short, you're not going to get where you need to go. So if he's only fulfilling a mitzvah d'Rabbanan and you're fulfilling a mitzvah d'Oraisa, he's not going to be a good ride for you. If you want to get a ride in his car, you need somebody who's going all the way. You need somebody who's going to the mitzvah d'arais. So using a shlichus model would address that issue and would fit nicely into the other possibility of how to understand Shemaya Kohen. But what about our problems? What about the fact that you shouldn't need to be there and it seems like we're dealing with a mitzvah shebegufa? Right? What about that? So here, I'm going to suggest something complex. I may have seen something along these lines in a sefer once upon a time, but I don't remember, or maybe it's a little bit of a different version. But what if we think about it like this? These mitzvos of speech that we're talking about, they really have two parts to them. There is the saying of the words, the speaking of the words, and there is the hearing of the words. If you say it yourself, you also hear yourself speak. And it could be that these mitzvos involve both parts, but really one of them is more important than the other. And that really it's the listening that's actually more important. And maybe we can illustrate this best, just being very literal, by using the mitzvah of Kiddush. Right, so what does the Torah say to tell us that the mitzvah of Kiddush? Zachor is Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. What's the literal translation of those words?
Remember.
Remember, right? So we translate that halachically into saying Kiddush. So maybe the gather of this mitzvah and similar mitzvahs is that really what we want is that you should remember Shabbos. The vehicle to make you remember Shabbos, to make you think about it, is speech, and the Gemara says it has to be that way, specifically with that, but the vehicle to do that is through speech. But the tachlis is really the hearing. That's really what you are trying to accomplish so that you will personally remember Shabbos. Yeah?
Does the sinful, is that part of the svara why we say to hear Parshas Zohar from Amalek is the Arisa? Because...
So maybe yes, maybe no. Before we get to the comparison, let's hold off for a second. Let's just see how this plays out. So if you understand it that way, the purpose of Kiddush is really that you will hear it and think about it. But it has to be explicit, so it has to be that you say it first and then you hear yourself. But maybe since it's really about the hearing, so it doesn't actually have to be you doing the speaking. If someone else was doing the speaking, that would also work. So maybe the nature of this mitzvah is there's two parts, and you actually can farm out the first part. The speaking part is really a tachlis-oriented mitzvah. It's just to get the sound out there in a sense of chiyuv, so it has to be somebody who's mechuyuv bedavar. But you have the goal of having a chiyuv-generated sound. That you could do either yourself or through someone else. And theoretically, you wouldn't have to be in the room, except that there's the shmiah part. So you need to be there to do the shmiah. And yes, the shmiah part is a mitzvah shebigufo, but that part you're not farming out. So essentially, we bifurcate this mitzvah into two halves. The saying of it and the hearing of it. And the saying of it, you would generally do yourself, but theoretically, you could have someone else who's mechuyev also do the speaking. As long as you do the hearing, that gets you to the tachlis of the mitzvah, and it fits these issues, that the mitzvah shebegufo is really the hearing, and that you can't have anyone else do. And the speaking is really just there in order to have something to listen to. It becomes a tachlis-oriented thing, and that you could do through shlichus, and you wouldn't have to be there were it not for the fact that you need to hear it, so that requires you to be there. Daniel?
Can that be applied to things like Kriya Shema? Is it to recite Shema?
Okay, so now that actually gets to the question. So first let's consider this point and see if we understand, and then your questions about what else it may apply to, we'll come back to. Hi.
How is the shlichus though? Like, the way you explain it just doesn't seem to relate to the idea of shlichus at all.
Okay, why?
As in, there's no... The way I understood is that you need to have an amira so that you could have a shlichus.
Right.
But there's no point in which you'll be anybody's a shlichus for somebody else.
So yeah, the amira, for the amira part, the guy who's speaking is being a shlichus.
The point is that's not relevant.
It is relevant. You need that amira so that you can have a shmiah. So that half of the mitzvah has to be done.
But does it have to be done by you?
No, that's why you can have a shliach.
Then it's not shliach,
isn't it? Well, it's something that's following the general path of shlichus. Now, it may still have some quirks, which we're going to work on in a minute, but the general framework of shlichus may indeed be addressed by that. Now, okay, so hold off for a minute, see if we'll maybe address your questions in a second. So now, just if you do accept that shlichus is a better possibility than here at Kedibur, let's say. So let's invoke for a minute our friend the Kajugal of Arav. We've mentioned him in the past, and I think one of the things that we have highlighted about him, as Shechta points out often, is that the Kajugal of Arav, whose picture is in the library in 5A, he had a ability or tendency to see comparisons in a way that no one else saw. So he saw very interesting links. So he, in his sefer, the sefer is called Tshuvas Eretzvi, and in the contemporary printings, it's three volumes, two volumes of Tshuvas Eretzvi, and the last volume is called Siach HaSodeh, it's essays. So in the Siach HaSodeh, he says that Shemei Ka'one is Shlichus, and he wants to explain a few halachos based on that. So one, and this was something that I think Daniel alluded to before, says there is a Tosfos, which you've seen by now, because it's the same Tosfos that argues with Rashi. So Tosfos, I don't know how many of you noticed this, one person mentioned, maybe it was Zach, somebody mentioned this to me yesterday, that Tosfos has a line there which is interesting, and I don't think it's the normative halachic position. It doesn't seem to match what we normally assume. What is that, Zach, you remember? Yeah, that basically Tosfos says that it's a mitzvah min amuvcher to make a bracha yourself. That you shouldn't ideally be doing it through Shemei HaKohanim, you should be making the bracha yourself. So I don't think that's our normal attitude. We mentioned yesterday from the Shagas Aryeh, 2 days ago from the Shagas Aryeh, that he was assuming there's no lechachila b'di'evit here. But that's a Tosfos' statement that it's better for you to make a bracha on your own. Gilad?
Just what type of brachas?
What's what?
What types of brachas?
This is not clear.
So, would that make a big difference?
It would. But again, I don't think this is something that we follow in general. But you're right, theoretically, you would. I mean, it depends on the context. Maybe Berchus HaMitzvah, Berchus HaNedin, for sure. But with Berchus HaMitzvahs, we don't seem to necessarily assume like this. So this actually addresses what Daniel said before, what Daniel Schwartz said before. And so says the Kadrik lover, why is Tosfos say this? Better that you should make the bracha on your own. So Daniel, why? Mitzvah bow. Yosef Mishlucha, right? That's it. Shlichus is not the ideal way of performing a mitzvah. So too, Shemei HaKohanim is not ideal either because it is Shlichus. So if we say Mitzvah bow Yosef Mishlucha, then we say Mitzvah bow Yosef Mishemei HaKohanim. He also discusses a Tosfos. This is a Machlokas Rishonim. It's a Tosfos in Brachas that says you can't have Shemei HaKohanim for half a bracha. It has to be all or nothing. So why should you say that? Certainly, if you say here a kedivor, that's hard to understand, right? So you'll say half the bracha and be maharer of the other half. Why is that a problem? So if you want to say that it's based on shlichus, there's a view in some rishonim in Gittin that ein shlichus lachatzi davar. You can't have a mission that's half shlichus and half not. So that would fit again. Now here's the wildest one. So he has 3 points. You ready for the one that takes the most? Tolerance, I guess, the most is the biggest stretch. So he says, what's pshat on Rashi in Sukkah, Rashi on Ardav, against Tosfos? So Tosfos says, if you use Shemei HaKohanim, you're going to be undermining yourself, because that will be a hefsek in the middle of Shemona Esrei. So why does Rashi not say that it's a hefsek? Anyone want to guess where he's going with this? Yeah.
Why would Rashi say it's not?
Why is Rashi not worried about a hefsek with Shemei HaKohanim in the middle of Shemona Esrei? This one is the most creative of the three. It says, "Aim shliach l'dvar avera." So it works for the mitzvah. It doesn't work for the avera.
It's one.
Right. Well, if a hefsek, an intentional hefsek, would be an avera. The question is how to classify it, but it would be some kind of an avera. Because you're not allowed to. But I mean, that's our whole problem. We can't be mafsik in the middle of davening, in the middle of other kriyas shema, other such things. So that's it's an interesting question. Why not? So that's there's an interesting chakira to be had if we were learning the sugya of hafsik, what the nature of the iser is. But suffice to say, it's not the right thing to do. So and otherwise, we would do it with impunity, right? So we feel ourselves constrained from doing this. So that's his understanding because it's shlichus, ain't shlichus l'dvar avera, which that takes the most stretching to make that comparison. Once we put that on the table, well, Gilad, you want to ask a question about that?
Yeah, just trying to clarify it for myself, I guess.
Yes.
It's not even so much a vera it would make a difference for a hefsek.
I'm not sure. I mean, I think that's the least problematic part. That's what I'll be saying. I mean, we can assume that it is an avera. You're not supposed to be mafsik during Shemona Esrei and other such things. The question of the mechanics of ancient shlichus l'dvar avera, it's a big chiddush. That's not normally how we understand it, and even so, it's an unusual split. Hi, Zviel.
Even if, like, aside from all the understanding of whether it's shlichus or not, wouldn't just pausing in the middle of Shemona Esrei, regardless of what...
Right, that question was raised the other day, and it's a fair point, you know, with that it doesn't seem like actual speech is the only way to have a hefsek? That's a fair question. You have to figure out where exactly the line is drawn. But here, Tosfos focuses specifically, Daniel pointed out there's a difference between Tosfos and Brachos and Tosfos and Sukkah on that front, which may address that a little bit. That sounds like Tosfos and Sukkah might be essentially saying that simply pausing is itself a problem. But Tosfos and Brachos is saying that the concern is specifically speech. If you're trying to avoid speech, to do something which is like speech seems to be counterproductive. Hi.
Would we say that the Kedushah is the definition of Tosos, by the time we say that's in line with the Rambam in Brachos, who says that?
I don't know, because it's not clear the Rambam is saying one is better than the other. He's saying the mechanics.
Well, he makes a chil between Shomea and on Yesamein.
Right, but maybe it doesn't matter. Right, there's two different ways to do it, and it doesn't necessarily mean that one is better than the other.
Well, he says kimivaris. I mean, that seems like it would be.
Okay.
He doesn't say he's using different lashon.
Oh, but it's still different than Tosfos, because Tosfos you have to actually say the bracha yourself, and the Rambam saying there's an easier route.
Right.
So it's an interesting question. So just while we mentioned that slightly difficult point about Inshliach Udvar Aveira, so that opens the door for me to push it a little wider and tell you something even more chassidishly oriented on that point. The Magid of Mizrich has a similar approach. Sorry? The Magid of Mizrich has a similar approach, but even more divergent from standard literature interpretations of Gemaras. And he commented similarly that the Gemara says that if somebody tries to do a mitzvah and is not successful, nonetheless, he gets credit. Kadosh Baruch Hu is mitzarech machshava l'maisa. God combines your effort with your intention, and you get credit for the mitzvah. It's a Gemara condition, right? But if you try to do an aveira, so that does not happen. By an aveira, God is not mitzarech machshava l'maisa, and if you didn't actually do it, so then you're not saddled with it. So says the Magen of Mizrich, again, it's a more non-traditional understanding of that Gemara. So he basically reads it to say that machshava works for mitzvos, but not for aveiros. So he says, in his discussion there, he says that's pshat in Rashi and Tosfos. That Rashi says that Shemei Ka'onah is good, but it's not a hefsek, because for the mitzvah of being onet, of responding to Kedusha, machshava k'maisa. But for the Avera, we don't count the Machshava as a Maisa. Again, it's not the traditional understanding of what... Sorry?
Isn't that not necessarily true?
So it's not the traditional interpretation. Again, once we already went a little bit in this direction, I'm pushing it further.
On its own, regardless of the interpretation, meaning you could have... wrong to think about certain things.
Right, I know, so it's an interesting, I don't know how he answers that.
It's just not true.
Right, so but while I'm saying this, I'll give you two more examples that he mentions there. So the Gemara says in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Yud Gimel that you're not allowed to talk about things that are inappropriate on Shabbos in Divrei Chol. The Gemara says explicitly that hear her mutter, Dibur Asur. You're not allowed to speak about them, but you're allowed to think about them. So some would ask, well, here are Kedibur, so why are you allowed to think about them? So he says the same explanation. Here are Kedibur works to be Yotzei Mitzvahs, but it doesn't work for the Avera because of the same idea. And he also suggests that Shita Mekubetzis and Tumur raises the question that normally, I guess this is a point that Dan and I discussed this morning also, that when it comes to Staka, when it comes to Hekdish, so Hekdish is Chal B'machshava. If you think about Hekdish, you're able to confer Kedusha. But when it comes to tmura, so tmura, what is tmura? It's the prohibition in the Torah to try to switch your korban for an inferior animal. And if you do that, there's a knas that both animals are considered kodesh. You have to sacrifice them both. So, sorry?
Even for
bigger? Yeah. But again, this is not our focus so much, just to explain to the user. So the prohibition of tmura, so there the Gemara says that has to be explicitly stated. It's not the machshava. So Shita Mekubetzis asks, but it's just hektish, misdirected. And hektish works for machshava, so why doesn't tmura work for machshava? So Magen Mizrich says the same idea, that for the aveira, it's not for the mitzvah of hektish, you can have machshava. For the aveira of tmura, it's not going to be enough. If you want to see that, I don't know where Magen Mizrich said this, it's all quoted in an essay of Rabbi Shlomo Warman's in a Sefer Sheiros Yosef, an essay in Gidrei HaDibur. So he quotes the Magid Mizrich, making all these points. But again, this is a different style, but mentioning it as a point of interest. Hi.
How does he fit into Rashi and Tosfos again?
So he's really just explaining Rashi. Why is Rashi telling you this is a good plan for the mitzvah, but he's not worried about the Aveira? Because Machshava works for mitzvahs and not for Aveiras, so therefore it's effective to answer Kedusha, but it's not going to be a Hesed. Yeah, very Mechudish interpretation. So in any event, this whole Shlichus story, so there's still a little bit of rough edges. It works a little better than Hirik and Divor, but it's been pointed out there's still a little bit of rough edges. So the truth is, you can do away with those, or you don't have to worry about those, because this question was a little bit of a misdirection, right? To say, is Shamei Ka'one based on Hira Kedibur, is it based on Shlichus? It's a little bit of a misdirection, because our Gemara in Sukkah tells us that Shamei Ka'one is its own din, and it has its own pasuk to explain Shamei Ka'one. So it doesn't really need another concept to piggyback on. So really what we're trying to do is see what is it most similar to. So that's how some Achronim understand that, and some Sofer has this lashon, that Shamei Ka'one is a hitstarfus ke'ein shlichus. That it is a way of connecting that is like shlichus. It's not actual shlichus, but it has a lot in common with shlichus. It basically patterns itself after it, or it's basically functioning along those lines. But essentially, it's a hitstarfus. It's a joining together with the person doing the talking. And again, that puts it in the camp together with Rashi and the Chazon Ish and the Taz, all seeing that you are connecting to the person speaking and fulfilling the mitzvah through him. Now, the next few minutes, again, we committed to finish this today, but there's so much more to talk about, but I just want to discuss two issues quickly, one because it was asked and one because it's timely. So in terms of the question was asked, what about Kriya Shema? So we saw, Agav, that Kriya Shema is a machlokes, at least between Shagas Aryeh and the Vilna Gaon, and perhaps many others on both sides of the equation, to whether you can use Shamei Ka'one for Kriya Shema. Shagas Aryeh assumed yes, and the Vilna Gaon in his commentary Bracha said no. And again, the many others you could throw into the list. So it could be it's connected to this question. If I remember correctly, the Shuvah is Leva Avram. Leva Avram was written by Avram Weinfeld of Muncie. Has very fascinating Shuvahs. So one of his Shuvahs, I think he talks about this. So you could say, well, what is the gather of the mitzvah in Kriya Shema? Which I think someone tried to ask before, Daniel asked it before, in terms of when I was explaining about Kiddush. So we could say, so what exactly is the mitzvah? Is the mitzvah that we should be thinking about the themes of Kriya Shema, just like we should be thinking of the themes of Shabbos and the Gilas Esther and the like, and maybe Zechira Samalek, as Sam bought it? Or maybe no. Maybe the whole point of Kriya Shema is the Pledge of Allegiance, and that you should say it. We want you to sign on. We want you to say the words of Kriya Shema. So it could be that that's the machlokes, that is this a mitzvah comparable to Kiddush and other such things, where if you hear it through somebody else, you're accomplishing the fundamental goal of the mitzvah? Or is the goal something different, and that we definitely want to hear it from you, we don't want to hear it from anyone else, and therefore that's going to require a different approach? That's one issue to think about. I'll just throw in one other point. I think probably this Sunday maybe we'll talk more about Sefira HaOmer in terms of the mitzvah of Sefira HaOmer. This past Sunday we got a little bit into the Avelus question, so we had to talk about the mitzvah. But just to say one point about this, so there is a question about whether you can use Sefira HaOmer and Shamei Ka'one together. So this issue, first of all, just to clarify what it's talking about, we're not talking about the bracha on Sefira HaOmer. A bracha on Shamei Ka'one should work. So that's negeya to people, unfortunately. Let's say you forgot a night or something like that, so you want to hear the bracha from somebody else because you're not in the parsha saying the bracha anymore. So that Shamei Ka'one works for it. Our question is, what if you want to have the actual recitation of the day, the actual counting, done through Shamei Ka'one? So here there's a Magen Avraham, as a discussion about this. And it's based on a Gemara in Maseches Menachos, which some of you misread, that you all saw the sheet that said, you thought it said Pehe, Well, clearly it's Samache, so next time you'll try to read it a little bit more carefully. Or your computer has misreceived it. Must have been right when I sent it out. I don't know what happened there. But, sorry?
Corrupted file.
Yeah, it's too much corruption nowadays in general. So the Gemara Menachas and Samache has a drasha that Usfartem Lochem, Sheyehe, Sphira, Lekolecha, Liachabachem, that everyone should do Sphira on their own. So there is a machlokas aposkim. Can you have Sphiras Omer through Shemaya Kaona? Or does this Gemara come to exclude that? Does this Gemara come to say that no, everyone's got to do their own Sphira? So one could say, as seems to be the case, that it's not talking about that at all. It's contrasting it with Yovel. And when it comes to Yovel, there's a Sphira that's done by Bezdin. So we don't have individual Jews having a responsibility to count the Yovel. So when it comes to Sphira, you might have thought the same thing, that maybe Klal Yisrael is supposed to keep track of Omer, and the Beis Din is supposed to do it, but there isn't a personalized mitzvah to do it. So, and the Kashrus sounds like that's what the Gemara is coming to tell you, that everyone has a mitzvah on their own to do Sphira. So if that were true, so it could still be, okay, I have a personal mitzvah, but I still should be able to do that through Shomei Kaona. Especially if you want to say, let's say the two possibilities in the Rambam, that if Shemaya Kaona actually was like doing it yourself, so then Shemaya Kaona should work even within that very specific reading of that drasha. So that's my focus about Sfera Somer. God willing, we'll have a lot more to say about that on Sunday, and by listening to it, it'll be as if you said it. Okay, so we'll close there. Again, we have a schedule for tomorrow and for Sunday. Monday, Dusuga. Now, Minfa.